Okay, well, this is another squeaky toy robot story for William. And William, I'm sorry, I meant to tell you this story before you went home today, and you helped me write it and everything. So I wanted to tell it to you so you could have it going to sleep. And this is Chapter 3, Ninja Squirrels Attack. Well, this is a very exciting chapter, and I'll have to tell you all about it because William helped me make it. So, we left the last chapter. We left with 3T and Squeaky Toy racing away from the toy shop witch. Oh, they took off and raced home. Well, 3T got home just in time for lunch, and the little toy robot came in with him and sat quietly in the kitchen while he had his lunch. Said hi to his mom. His mom said, "Anything happening? You're home early." "Oh, nothing, Mom. Nothing. No problems." And he ate his lunch. And he went out and said to Squeaky, "Squeaky, let's go see what's happened to Curtis." So they walked next door to where Curtis Cuttlefish lived, and in the garage were Curtis and Kwame, and Curtis's father, Solomon Cuttlefish. Well, Solomon was working on Kwame's bike. He already had Curtis's bike fixed up and looking shiny new and ready to go, even though it had been a little crunched after they had their accident. And Kwame's front front bars were bent, and his handlebars were kind of like not all right. But Solomon Cuttlefish was an excellent technician, and he had all the tools required, and he was fixing the bike. Well, 3T and Squeaky Toy came in, and Solomon Cuttlefish was bending over the bike, was working it. He looked up to say hi to 3T, and his eyes fell on the little Atsuri Ningyo robot. "My, my, my," he said, "what have we here?" 3T said, "It's a toy, Mr. Cuttlefish. It's a toy that my dad brought home from Japan just last night." And Mr. Cuttlefish looked at it, and he said, "Well, it's a toy, but it's a very interesting toy. It's moving on its own." "Yes, sir, it does. It seems to walk pretty well." At that, Kwame and Curtis started laughing because they knew he wasn't able to walk. He could run. But they didn't want to say anything. They just watched. So Mr. Cuttlefish looked at the robot. He said, "Is it a toy? Is it a little what? What? How does it walk like that?" "Well, I don't know. My father brought it home from Japan, and it was made by Mr. Ningyoshi-san. It's an Atsuri Ningyo robot, and it's supposed to help clean up toys." "Oh, I wonder if it can..." So he looked at the little Squeaky Toy. And he said, "What do you call him?" And 3T said, "Squeaky." "Squeaky? Yeah, Squeaky, because look, here, Squeaky, come forward and bend your knee." So Squeaky walked forward, and he bent his knee a couple times. And you know what he heard? Squeak, 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 a squeak. Solomon Cuttlefish looked at the knee, and he looked at the little robot. And he said, "This is curiouser and curiouser. What happened that your knee squeaks?" And 3T said, "My father said they dropped him at the airport in Japan." "Oh, I wonder if you need some ball bearing grease." "Not any type of grease. This is a very cleverly constructed little mechanism. How does he work?" And he looked at 3T and he said, "Do you mind if I take a look at your toy?" And 3T said, "No, no, Mr. Cuttlefish, go ahead." So Mr. Cuttlefish looked at 3T and he felt his knees and he felt his elbows and he felt his shoulders and he looked at his neck. He looked in his eyes. He looked in his mouth. He found the little thing that cranked him up to give him energy. What does this do? We crank him up to give him energy. Oh, really? And Mr. Cuttlefish tried cranking him a little bit. I see. And he felt around behind Squeaky Toy, and you know what he found? He found the switch. The switch that would let Squeaky Toy talk. But he didn't move it because he said, "Well, somebody put the switch there that way. I'm not going to touch it." He just kept inspecting the little robot. He said, "My, oh my, oh my. You are very well put together. I wonder if you can understand a command." And 3T said, "Of course he can." And Curtis at this point said, "Well, Dad, he's a very smart little Ningyo robot. We found that out." And Kwame was just sitting there laughing and laughing because his knee felt so much better, and he knew that Squeaky Toy had taken care of it. So Solomon said, "Okay, Squeaky Toy, I'm going to give you a test. Tell me, can you point out the screwdriver?" Squeaky looked at him and lifted an eyebrow, blinked his eyes, and he walked over and he pointed to a screwdriver. Any screwdriver. Oh, well, that's pretty good for a toy. How about a plus screwdriver? Squeaky pointed to the plus screwdriver. Oh, well, how about a star screwdriver? Because he knew that there weren't any star screwdrivers. All the stars came in ratchet sets, because the ratchet set lets you have a little insert that looks like a star, like a six-sided star. It's not like a screwdriver. And Squeaky looked around. He looked and he saw there was a little ratchet set. He walked over to the ratchet set, and he pointed to the ratchet set. Mr. Cuttlefish said, "What? What do you mean? There's no screwdriver in there." Squeaky just looked at him and raised his eyebrows, put his hands out like, say, "Huh? Show me." And he opened up the ratchet set, and there was a whole set of star points ready to be used. Mr. Cuttlefish said, "That's pretty interesting." She said, "Okay, Squeaky Toy Robot, tell me something. I want to fix your knee with a little bit of high-quality lithium grease that is going to be only solid when it's cold, and it's going to be liquid, and it's going to be wonderful. So why don't you show me which tube it is?" Well, Dingo Robot was sitting there saying, "Is this guy stupid? What is he thinking?" Because after all, not only could he pick out the correct lithium grease he needed, he could pick out the correct weight, he could pick out the correct tensile strength, and he could pick out the difference between Chinese brands, American brands, English brands, and those made in Russia, which were generally inferior. And he looked at all the cans of tubes, he looked up and down, and then he spotted something that made him very interesting. Because on the top of one of Mr. Cuttlefish's shelves were robot parts. Different robot parts. Maybe a little robot top, a robot middle, some robot legs. He was very interested. After all, he might have cousins. But he kept going, and he found the grease. He found all the greases. He found the correct lithium grease. And then he pointed to the lithium grease that he thought he should use. And Mr. Cuttlefish said, "Well, pretty good, but not the right one, because I'd use the other one." And Squeaky just laughed and laughed, and he picked up both labels, and he turned them around, and then he pointed to his label that said, "For use on robots only." And he looked at Mr. Cuttlefish, and he said, Oh, he's right. Oh, well, what a cute little toy. Well, this is very nice, 3T. I'm glad you have that toy." 3T said, "Thank you very much." And Mr. Cuttlefish went back to the bike, and he fixed it up for Kwame. He said, "Now, you boys, stay out of trouble, and I'll see you around." So they said, "Thanks, Mr. Cuttlefish," and they pedaled off. Well, boy, Squeaky Toy Robot had really impressed Mr. Cuttlefish. Well, the boys pedaled all afternoon. They pedaled all around town. Squeaky Toy ran after them. Everybody saw them running and thought, "He must be a pretty little boy, but he's running awfully fast." Then they went home for dinner. And 3T had dinner, and he went down and watched TV. Well, Ningo Robot finished the dishes, picked up all his toys. He went to his sister's room and picked up her toys. He went and made the bed for his parents. He walked around and did the laundry. Then he dried the clothes and he folded them. He didn't know what else to do. And then he heard 3T's mother on the phone. 3T's mother was talking to somebody. Well, she was talking to Mrs. Cuttlefish. And she was saying, "Really, I don't understand what Margaret was doing scaring those boys like that." And then there was chatter on the other end. Beep, 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 beep. "Well, I know, and I know Kwame hurt his knee, but he didn't mean to in front of the toy shop. And it was just an accident, and she had no right to be grabbing that little toy that 3T has." "Me, me, 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 me," on the other end. 3T's mother said, "Well, Margaret and the toy shop, I don't know what to say. She has just gone downhill. Since you know what happened, and she's just not been the same ever since. She seems to be more and more depressed, and I'm very worried about her." On the other end, "Beep, beep, 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 beep. Well, I'm very worried about Margaret. Maybe I'll go down and talk to her myself, because she's just unhappy, and she's not making anybody else happy." Well, the Squeaky Toy Robot wanted to listen to more, but he couldn't, because at that point, 3T said, "Come on, I'm going to bed." So he climbed the stairs, went to bed with 3T, sat up all night listening to the crickets and the frogs outside, and listening to all the toys climb all over him and talk to him and ask him what he had been up to all day long, because they had heard certain stories, and was it true that the toy shop witch was after him? Well, nighttime went, morning came, again they had breakfast, again he cleaned up the breakfast dishes, and then 3T got on his phone, and he texted Curtis, and he texted Kwame, and he said, we have to have a meeting. We need to meet so we can decide how to rescue those toys in the toy shop. So they agreed. So they got on their bikes, and they went to a park, a little park that was on the side of the town, and nobody generally went there because there were a lot of bushes, and they had a great time. They had a little meeting space, and the meeting space was in the middle of a big batch of bushes of it was a big patch of heavenly bamboo, and the heavenly bamboo was probably 6 or 7 feet high. It was huge, but in the middle it was all bare, covered by trees, so nobody could see them. And they brought their bikes in and sat down and said, how are we going to rescue the toys in the toy shop? They're really unhappy. And then Kwame said, yeah, did you see that lady? She tried to steal Squeaky Toy right out from under your arms. And 3T said, yes, she tried to take him. She tried to bring him away. And Curtis said, we have to do something. We have to do something about that. We have to make a plan. And so they started talking about a plan. Squeaky Toy said, And he walked around. He looked at the birds, looked at the bees, looked at the flowers. He sort of just wandered around the little area while the boys were discussing what to do to rescue the toys. Well, nobody was looking up. They should have been looking up. They weren't looking up. If they had been looking up, they would have seen a number of very suspicious, rather large squirrels looking down. These weren't any squirrels. These weren't your happy-go-lucky little brown squirrel that frisks up and down the tree, chip, 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 and eats acorns. No. These were ninja squirrels. And they all had ninja masks on. And they weren't bright, happy colors like purple and green and blue. No. They were black as these squirrels were. Black ninja turtles, squirrels. They had long, bushy tails. And they had long teeth up front. And they were mean. They were so mean. Now, they'd watched. They'd been watching Squeaky Toy for the last 2 days. And they knew that this toy shop witch wanted to get her hands on the robot. And the leader of the ninja squirrels said, hey. And the leader's name was Meanie. That's what his name was, Meanie. They called him Meanie. And he said, you know what? I have a plan. If we can capture that little toy, we can sell that toy to the toy shop witch, and she'll give us buckets and buckets of peanuts and cashews and almonds and pecans. Oh, my goodness. Think of what we'll have to eat. And this other ninja squirrel buddy, who is called Smudgy, that was his name, Smudgy, he said, hey, Meanie, you're good. I like that. Smudgy looked around and said, I have an idea. We can take some of our spider webs that we've collected, and if we drop them onto that toy, we can pull them into the tree and wrap them up so tight he can't move at all. And then we can see if the toy shop witch wants to buy him. So they had that plan. So they scurried off to their favorite hideout tree, and they had collected, oh my goodness, if you know how much spider web they'd collected, they used it as ropes, they used it as snares, nets, they used it as everything, because they were always tricking people and catching things and stealing things using their nets when they were going to steal the ninja Ningyo robot. So the ninja squirrels came back. The three boys were still there talking about how they were gonna break a window and get into the back of the house and back of the shop and take all the toys out before she could come running. And someone else was gonna say, no, let's pretend there's something really bad out front, and when she runs out, we can run in the back and get it. And they were having all these ideas about how they were gonna rescue all of the good toys. Meanwhile, the ninja squirrels
were climbing on the live oak tree right over their heads. And little Squeaky Toy was just standing there, looking around, looking at the butterflies and the bees and the flies and the ants and everything happening. But he wasn't looking up. He should have been looking up. Because if he looked up, he would have seen 5 or 6 big, ugly, mean-looking black squirrels with head masks on. And they were, just at that point, dropping a large net made of spider cobwebs right on top of him. Boom! Down it dropped. Well, you know, the thing with spider webs, and you probably don't know this, but the thing with spider webs is spider webs are sticky. Sticky, sticky, sticky. And spiders who make the spider webs can walk along the webs because they have a special chemical in their feet that means they don't get stuck to the cobwebs. But if you're a happy little fly just buzzing along, buzz, 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 and you run into a little cobweb, bang, you're stuck. You're stuck and you can't get out. And then what the spider does is it runs down to that little spy and it starts spinning more and more and more spider web around that little fly until he's totally encased. And you know that one strand of spider web is stronger than steel if you made a steel the same size as the spider web. So it's very strong. So they dropped the net and then they pulled as fast as they could and up came Squeaky Toy caught in the net, all stuck. Well, Squeaky Toy couldn't talk. His switch was switched off. He couldn't make a move. He was so surprised. He was pulled up into the tree before he knew it. And then those sneaky squirrels, led by Meanie and Smudgy, they started wrapping him in cobwebs. Wrap, 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 wrap. They wrapped his arms, they wrapped his hands, they wrapped his legs. They were going to wrap them all around his head, but they thought maybe he had to breathe. So they didn't wrap him around his head, but they wrapped him all up, 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 till he was nothing but like a big mummy cocoon. And he couldn't move. He couldn't break it. He couldn't get up. And he couldn't yell or anything. Then they lifted him up. And they carried him. Oh, can you believe it? 6 ninja squirrels carrying this poor little ninja robot through the tops of the trees. And nobody saw them. You know why? Because nobody looks up. And they carried them, till they came to a big gum tree. And that gum tree was right behind the town toy shop. And they brought him to a branch, and in the crest of that branch was a nest, a squirrel's nest. Now, if you ever looked at squirrels' nests, you look at nests. Birds' nests are big, eagles' nests are huge, but squirrels' nests tend to be big and deep when they make nests. And they dumped him in the nest, and then they had the audacity to put acorns and pine cones all on top of them, piled up, till you couldn't see anything. But acorns and pine cones. Poor Squeaky was upside down at the bottom of the nest and he couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. He was like, I can't do this. So then the ninja squirrels came down the tree and came to the back window and started scratching and banging at the back window. Smudgy was in one, Meanie was in the other, and there was a third, a really, really nasty looking ninja squirrel who was just wasn't a nice guy, and he was Squirmy. And Squirmy was rapping on the window with his tail, trying to get the toy shop witch's attention. Well, meanwhile, finally, 3T looked up, and he didn't see Squeaky Toy. He said, what happened to Squeaky Toy? Where's Squeaky? Squeaky! Squeaky! All three boys started looking all through the heavenly bamboo. They couldn't see Squeaky anywhere. Then they went outside and started looking for him. They couldn't see him anywhere. So then they took off on their bikes and started pedaling around and around and around. They couldn't see him anywhere. He was nowhere. Oh, maybe the toy shop witch stole him again. So they said, let's go see. Well, they didn't want to go to the toy shop. They weren't going to go in the front door. Maybe they could go around the back and they could look in the back window. And they could see if Squeaky Toy was in the back room where all the other good toys were. So they pedaled, and they took their bikes, and they walked them up to the back of the store. Well, the back of the toy shop was backed out to a large green area. And it was part of a sort of a churchyard. There was a church way down there, and they owned all that, and they kept it really nice. and they had trees and lilacs and flowers and stuff. And so they parked their bikes beneath this huge tree. It was a gum tree. And in the fall, it would drop all these little gum balls that were sticky, had spikies on them, and nobody liked them. But it was a beautiful looking tree, huge and big and spreading. And way up in the middle of a branch was a big old squirrel nest. So they put their bikes by the tree, and they said, "Let's go look in the windows." Well, they hadn't gone two steps when they noticed that there were squirrels everywhere. Big, black, ugly-looking squirrels. They were the ninja squirrels. And they were tapping at the window and talking at the window. And then the back door opened, and out came the toy shop witch. Only she came out with a broom. "Eek! Eek! Get away, you little creatures! Rah! Tree rats! Get away!" And she started screaming at the squirrels as much as she could. Well, those ninja squirrels, they weren't happy about that, because after all, they were trying to do a deal with her. "What is this?" And they started talking to her, saying, "No, no, no, stop. We're going to make a deal with you." But of course, they were squirrels. And they were saying, but they weren't speaking English. Not even Ningyo Robot could understand squirrel. And so they started arguing with her and yelling at her, and she kept swinging her broom, swinging, swinging, swinging. And finally, they all ran away, but she went back inside. Well, what an impasse. The ninja squirrels didn't know what to do. They had no idea what they could do. So they thought, "Well, I know. Maybe we can go find somebody else who'll buy this robot from us, and we'll get plenty of nuts." So they started to scramble back to the gum tree. Well, during all this, Squeaky Toy wasn't just lying there. Squeaky Toy was listening. Squeaky Toy had very good hearing. And he heard the bikes come up. He knew those bikes. He knew the squeaks of those bikes. He knew who was talking. He knew exactly who was down there. It was 3T, Curtis, and it was Kwame. And then he heard the toy shop witch come out. And she started smashing around with her broom, smack, 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 and the squirrels were like, "Feek, feek, 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 feek." And he knew what was happening there. And he thought, "Oh my goodness, those boys will never find me. If those squirrels come back, they could take me anywhere, and I can't do anything. I have to think about this. What can I do? What can I do?" Well, even though Squeaky Toy was all wrapped up, he wasn't totally out of things to do. He wasn't totally out of creative means with which to deal with his situation. And so he thought, and he said, "Well, maybe if I make a ruckus, maybe the boys will look up," which they should have been doing anyway, "look up, and they'll see me, and then they'll come and rescue me." So you know what he did? He was upside down in the nest, because that's how the squirrels had dumped him. He couldn't move around. He couldn't move his arms particularly. He couldn't move his legs to walk, but he could move his whole body. And so he tried moving, and yes, he could move his whole body. And so he decided what he'd do is he would just move his body up and kick up as hard as he could, and it would make a noise, and the boys would look up. Well, he wasn't quite aware of the fact that he was covered with acorns and covered with pine cones. And so when he took his body and went whoosh and pushed his body up, it was like an explosion. It was like somebody had taken a big firecracker and put it into all those pine cones, because they exploded out of the nest. All out of the nest. And they came rolling down. And one of them hit 3T right in the head. "Ow!" And he looked up. He said, "What's that?" And he looked in the squirrel nest, and he saw this white thing. Well, looked whitish up there, but it was all the cobwebs all around Squeaky Toy. And he saw it was wriggling and moving and jumping around like a jumping bean. It was like jumping, jumping. What's going on there? And Kwame said, "What is that up there?" And Curtis said, "I have no idea, but I'm going to go see." Well, Curtis was a tree climber. You want a tree climbed? Talk to Curtis. Curtis knew how to get up. Even the trees that would look like they couldn't, he got up. So he scrambled. He got a little branch. He put his foot in one branch, scrambled up to the next branch, climbed up again to the next branch, found another branch, climbed up, and finally got up to the nest. And he looked up. And who is he looking at? He was looking at 6 big, ugly squirrels. And they all had these weeny black little masks on. And they all had sharp teeth looking at them. And they were all hissing. Hiss! Hiss! Curtis said, "Uh-oh, uh-oh, looks like squirrels." And they looked down into the nest, and he could see Squeaky Toy's feet sticking out of a mass of cobwebs. And he said, uh-oh, looks like they have Squeaky Toy. Well, what was Curtis going to do? I mean, it's one thing to face one angry squirrel. That's a pretty big squirrel. It's another thing to face two, but six of them. And they started snarling because they weren't going to lose their toy or their nuts. They started snarling and gnashing. Now, normally squirrels are not happy with humans. They run away from humans, if you've noticed. But these squirrels were ninja squirrels, and they really weren't afraid of humans. They didn't like humans. If they had their way, they would bite every human they saw. And they started snarling, and their fur went up, and everything went up and down. And they just didn't think. Curtis did not know what he was going to do, but he had to get Squeaky out of there. Squeaky, I got to get you out of here. You can't be here. This is not right. So he yelled down, it's a treaty, Kwame, help me, help me, help me. Well, here's how 3T helped his friend and helped Squeaky Toy. Because 3T, fortunately, had his backpack. And in his backpack, he had a slingshot. Now, William, you probably don't know what a slingshot is, and it's not the type of toy you should be playing with until you're about 10. But he was 10, and he had a slingshot, and his dad had bought it for him. And he said, this is a good slingshot. It's good to use if you're gonna try to do some target practice, and it'll help you out sometime you don't know. And maybe if there's an angry dog coming at you, you can use it. Well, what a slingshot does is it's got a rubber band, and you put a stone or a BB or something in there, and you pull it back and let it go. And out shoots the stone really hard, and if you aim it at something, you can hit it. Now, it's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to, unless you cut somebody in the eye, but it's not going to hurt anybody really. It's just going to sting and hurt, and you're not going to like it. And his dad thought, well, if you've got a dog, a mad dog coming at you, or a fox or whatever, this is good. You could just take a couple slingshot rocks and it'll go away. So 3T pulled the slingshot out of his backpack, and he said, hey guys, I got to do this. And he found a couple of little stones. Actually, he reached into his pocket and pulled out some marbles, because marbles are marvelous. And he took one of the marbles, and he pulled back his rubber band, and he let it go. Ching! And it flew up in the tree, and it hit a branch right next to Curtis's head. Bang! And Curtis said, whoa, watch where you aim that thing. The squirrels looked up like, huh? What? So he shot another marble. He shot the marble up into the branch, and it binged off the branch into the bushes. The ninja squirrels jumped around and said, what? 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 There was an attack coming from who knows where, but they didn't want to be there. So 3T took another marble out, and he aimed at the big, huge leader, Meanie. Meanie was bigger than the rest of them. He was mean, and he was Meanie. And Smudgy and Squirmy were there helping them because they were ready to grab that robot and run again. And 3T aimed, and he took a shot. And that shot went right past the nose of Meanie, right onto a branch. And then when it bounced, it bonked him right in the head. Bonk! Ow! Oh! Oh! Ow! Oh! Ow! Ow! And that squirrel, he had had enough. They were mean. They could deal with baby birds and, you know, little critters that couldn't stand up to them. But when somebody pushed back, and William, I have to tell you this, this is a truism with bullies. When you push back at a bully, they're not quite as bullying. And he got pushed back. And they turned around, and they lickety-split ran. And Curtis reached into the nest, and he pulled out this long object. And it was this long object in cobwebs. And he said, guys, I think this is Squeaky Toy. And so he held it, and he started to climb down the tree with Squeaky Toy over his back. When he was down far enough, he passed him down to Kwame, and he passed him down to 3T, and they put him in the grass. Golly, what are we going to do? How do we get all these cobwebs off? And Kwame said, wait, I want to take a picture of this. So he pulled out his iPhone, and he took a picture of Squeaky Toy Robot all wrapped up in cobwebs because he thought it was funny, and he could send it around on Twitter. Ha, 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 ha. Well, Squeaky Toy was not very happy. He started bouncing around like a jumping bean. Get me out of here. But he couldn't say, get me out of here. He couldn't talk. So the boy said, I know what we'll do. We'll bring Squeaky Toy back to your dad. So they put Squeaky Toy into 3T's basket, and they pedaled as fast as they could back to Mr. Cuttlefish's house. And Solomon Cuttlefish looked at the little toy, and he started laughing. What have you done? What happened here? How did this toy? Oh, my goodness, I've never seen this. And you know what he did? He got out his iPhone, and he took a picture of Squeaky Toy. Squeaky Toy was not happy about this, but he had to do what humans told him. And Mr. Cuttlefish said, I got an idea. And he pulled out some metal shears, and he started snipping at the cobwebs. He snip, 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 snip. Pretty soon they started falling away, falling away, falling away, and there was Squeaky Toy in his overalls, which now looked a little bit mumbled and a little bit wrinkled and a little bit dirty and a little bit less crisp than normal, and his shoes, and he was missing one shoe. They had to go back and find that later on that day, and he was not a happy camper. And he looked up at Mr. Cuttlefish, and he just waved to say thank you. And old Solomon Cuttlefish looked down at him, and he waved back, and he said, you are not what you seem. And 3T said, okay, I've had enough for the day. I'm going home to play video games. And he took off and went home, and Squeaky Toy followed him. And after that, Squeaky Toy always looked up when he was outside in case there were any ninja squirrels lurking about. And that's the end of this chapter for my wonderful William and his beautiful sister Lauren and his absolutely charming mother Kira and super dad Steve. I hope you have a good night's sleep tonight, William, and I'll tell you another chapter another day. Good night.